dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Matt Combs.
Hello, SBC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk podcast show. I'm Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com, and I'll be joined again this evening, as I always am throughout the fall, by my brother Matt. First, want to thank the fans. We're off to a great start to Season 2, as this is show number 4 here in 2012-2013. We're going to do 10 shows in the fall, 10 in the winter, and 10 in the spring. And if you're new to the show, you can go back and check out all the shows from last year as well as the first three from this year. Just check out the DBK Media Service website. Now, for most of you, that's the page that you're listening to the show on now. But I guess I was even educated a little bit with technology last week, because I know a lot of you are listening through some different things on iPhones and some different things out there. So if you are not on the DBK Media Service website, you can simply find that on our homepage at SBCSportsZone.com. Click on the big DBK logo or the link that you see right there is the lead article, and that'll take you to where you need to go. As we look to this week's show, I think we have another great show. We have an instant classic volleyball finish. We have a coaching milestone. We're going to rank some golf courses. We're going to take a look at a different type of two-minute drill, and we're even going to talk a little bit more about transfers in our inbox. And speaking of our inbox, we had some really good emails come in late today that didn't quite get on the agenda for this week, but I look forward to some of those topics as we move forward. People talking about pet peeves in sports and some of the all-time individual great classes in the league, and talking a little bit about a current class of kids now in the league and how we're going to compare those throughout history. So future shows really looking to be interesting topics, and we're going to get fans involved in those. But the one that jumped out at me in the inbox came in, probably midweek, and it was talking about a fan that was listening to the radio after work one day. It says, I was listening to the fan on the way home from work the other day, and they were talking about the best rivalry in sports. Through all the talk of OSU Michigan football, Duke North Carolina hoops, New York Yankees, Red Sox, etc., it got me thinking about high school, and I was wondering what you guys considered the biggest rivalry in the SVC. It goes on to say, it could be a school in general or sports specific. Just to start the conversation, I know you guys were a part of a big basketball rivalry with Zane Trace in high school. And then Matt, it says, thanks, love the show. I really think this could be a fun topic. Well, Matt, as I got starting about that, it was ironic for me to read that email, because I happened to catch the exact segment, The Common Man in the Torg, the other day, 97.1 The Fan. I actually heard this same conversation on the radio. So I was kind of laughing as I'd read this email as I got home that day. And I got to thinking, when I think of rivalries today, I don't know, and this may be fair or unfair, I don't know that rivalries are quite the same as they were 15, 20 years ago. As I read the email and it talks about our rivalry with Zane Trace growing up, I think the day of AAU basketball, club volleyball, Legion baseball, I think it's probably hurt rivalries a little bit more. I think kids are closer friends with kids from other schools. And again, as a teacher and as an adult, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a different time. When I was growing up, I think of guys that now as adults I'm really good friends with, be it a Craig Kearns or a Chris Beard, or I had an incredible amount of respect for their talent in high school. But when I was in high school, I don't know that I was friends with guys I played against. It was one of those things where if I played against Chris Beard on a Friday night, I had an incredible amount of respect for Chris's talent. But Chris and I weren't going out for pizza after the game. It was one of those, as the email says, it was a heated thing. I don't know. You might hear this a little bit in the NBA as you hear a Larry Bird, Magic Johnson generation talk about LeBron, Durant type of thing. Matt, what's your take on rivalries, your response to the email? What makes up a good rivalry and maybe one that jumps out at you in today's SVC?
Well, I think, you know, there's some different factors that probably go into rivalries. I mean, you know, you look at geography possibly, and you know, the SVC is such a close league in proximity. You know, most of these schools are pretty close to each other anyway. But, you know, I know in some leagues where they're a little bit more spread out, your rivalry game might be somebody that's just a few minutes from you, you know, somebody that your kids grow up, you know, seeing these other kids at the fair, at a carnival or something, and there's bragging rights on the line, you know, that type of thing. So I think that matters a little bit. I think too, it needs to be competitive. For a rivalry to sustain itself, it has to be a competitive thing where not one team's dominating the other team. I think that probably at the end of the day, especially at the high school level, sort of kills a rivalry a little bit. Not so much sometimes at the professional or college ranks, because there's tradition involved there. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, for years, Michigan got the upper hand, you know, in that rivalry. But those, you know, that's been a rivalry for so long. Those kids come into college and they're told this is big. This is Ohio State, Michigan. So, you know, they just believe it to be true, and that's a rivalry, and it always has been, always will, no matter if one team's down for a while or whatever. But I think at the high school level, if a team dominates a series for long enough, that probably squashes that rivalry a little bit. I think in the SVC, it's interesting. It probably is sport specific, maybe a little bit, because again, I think you get the schools that have traditionally, you know, battled it out for a league championship, and that probably creates the rivalry a little bit more. But so I don't know that I could necessarily name one. You're probably better to answer that part of it, Shane. With as much SVC sports as you travel around and watch, you get a feel for the environment of that game, you know, and what the atmosphere is. So you may be better to answer in terms of the specific rivalries.
Well, I think the Unio-Zane Trace rivalry does jump out at you. Even since we've graduated, even if the basketball part's lost it a little bit, I would say just those two schools in general, that rivalry has grown. I think Paint Valley, Westfall football for the longest time, when you talk tradition and history, I guess the one thing you could say there is with the enrollment figures, the way they're going, is we did a show last year on this, how much has that hurt some rivalries? Because in a sport like football, obviously the enrollment of a Paint Valley Westfall is going in opposite directions year in, year out. You talk about the competitiveness. I know certain schools play for certain things. A Paint Valley Huntington comes to mind with the Maple Leaf, and you know, Paint Valley had made that a lopsided thing for so long, and now Huntington's starting to get better and better over the last 4 or 5 years since Josh Kello was in school, and obviously now with what Coach Bartholomew's starting to do. So those are some of the ones that jump out at me. I know as you go all the way back through volleyball history, obviously Edina has been the team, I think, of some different schools. Obviously, Westfall, if you were just to go in recent history, has been one that's jumped out. So the one thing I will ask you here, Matt, is two things, actually. One, as I studied some of the rivalries, I think the lack of longevity in terms of coaches compared to, say, 10 or 15 years ago has maybe hurt this a little bit, because I liked what you said about tradition. And the other thing I had down here as I was thinking about this, and you're an AD now, so maybe you can comment on this, because I'm not an administrator, nor do I care to ever be one. But I think administrators, if they're being honest, they probably kind of like the friendly environment a little bit. You know, if you think of the pep section thing that we do here on SVCSportsZone.com, maybe has stirred this back up a little bit. But if I think back 10, 15 years, that had a lot to do with the atmosphere and the different things and the rivalry. From an administration standpoint, you as an athletic director, as well as a coaching longevity, how do those things play in this particular discussion?
Well, they probably both figure in a little bit. I mean, anytime you get some coaches that have been at a school long term and they've had a history of battles against each other, you know, that probably plays into it a little bit, because again, whenever the characters in the play, so to speak, remain the same, you know, it adds to that tradition. And obviously the players are going to change, you know, year to year. So when the coaches stay the same, that probably adds to it some. And in terms of what you were saying about the, you know, the administration, I think, you know, times have changed a little bit. We all want a safe, you know, healthy environment for our student athletes.
Sure.
I don't think anybody would argue that point. But at the same time, We want to let kids be excited and create that type of atmosphere. And it's a fine line because you want sportsmanship. You know, you don't want a situation. I mean, some of the things that happen probably back when we were in school with different student sections probably crossed the line. I think both sides of it. I mean, you see it different places you went.
Are you saying the pit crew didn't treat you friendly on your trips to City Connect?
No, I wasn't. I probably wasn't going to be a guest speaker at the pit crew. That probably, very often. But it made it, looking back, it was fun. You know, it was enjoyable. It got your juices flowing a little bit as a player. But I could see how, like, a principal or, somebody like that's kind of cringing, like, oh, I hope this doesn't escalate in the summer. So, you got to look at their side of it. But I think the rivalries are still there, but it's just a little different. It's a little bit of a different time right now than it was a few years ago.
Well, Matt, we want fans to get involved in this, and I know one other thing that was in the inbox this week, admin1@svcsportzone.com, things that are overlooked in sports. With our kicking game, I know we had asked some fans to talk about positions and fundamentals in all sports that maybe are overlooked. I know some track people had talked to me. One said pole vault, one said field events, someone said penalties in football. Someone mentioned cutoff man in baseball. We want to get those in as well. Again, as we started talking kicking game through the first 3 weeks, we opened this conversation up and we're collecting these thoughts, and we're going to really talk about that on an upcoming show. So, fans, we want to know your thoughts on all of these fun topics. Email us, Facebook, that's svcsportzone.com. Just like us. You can also be friends with me, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone. They're on Facebook, and we're also SVC Sports Zone on Twitter. So please get involved, and we will revisit them on next week's show. Fans, as we turn our attention to volleyball to get started this week, I want to encourage you to check out the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Volleyball Scoreboard. You'll see a link right there at the top of the scoreboard for our archives page. Just simply scroll down, and again, don't give up on that. That goes all the way down to where you can go to past weeks, and it'll take you all the way back through the entire season. Again, that's our archive page, and that link is located right there at the top of the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Volleyball Scoreboard. And obviously, the thing will jump out at you on this week's scoreboard is we had an SVC Instant Classic out in Frankfurt, just an incredible match the other night. You might have heard some updates on Shout-O-Matic. Again, Shout-O-Matic is where I'm leaving voice messages to volleyball, soccer, football, all these different things. You'll see links all over the website there. Go to it, save that on your phone or computer, and you can really get some neat updates. I appreciate everybody who's sending me all of those updates so that I can pass them along to our fans. And, this started out as Adina up 1-0, and then Adina wins the second set pretty easily over Uniota and goes up 2-0. And before you know it, Uniota wins the third set. And then updates are coming in, and Uniota wins the fourth set. And then I start getting updates in the fifth set, and it's getting tight. And it goes all the way down. I want to say Uniota had two or three match points, and then they end up winning 18-16. And just an incredible performance from Alexis Overly. I know she was one dig off of being a 20-20-20 in terms of kills, assists, and digs. She's in the 6-2 offense. Steinbrook on a setting opposite of her had 23 assists. And Uniota's at their best when they don't have a lot of size at the net, but when they're playing hard and they play with a lot of energy. I know White with 11 kills, Taylor Overly 11 kills, Neff with 8, Ward in the back row takes on a lot of responsibility in serve receive attempts and digs. And I thought it sounded like an incredible atmosphere, an incredible match, and it kind of sums up this year's league in terms of what we thought going in. And I guess when we think volleyball, we have to start with Zane Trace. Here they are at 10-0, and they've won at Westfall, they've won at Uniota, they've won at Huntington. And this past Saturday, Lori Merriman hits a milestone in her great coaching career. She gets a career win 300, and I was looking through some numbers here and collecting some information from people, and she's 395, so she hits 300 wins before she coaches in 400 matches. And I got to thinking through the information I was gathering, going back and looking at how many years she's been in the SVC, and you look at Adina's streak, and then you consider all the years, I think it's like 15 or 16 district titles she's won, or she's been to the district final or beyond. So you look at another 15, 16 tournament losses, probably half of those 95 losses have been to Adina or have taken place in the regional or state tournament. So just phenomenal what she's been able to accomplish. And when we talk about this year's team, again, they're off to the 10-0 start. And I had an interesting point the other day. Someone was talking to me. Obviously, Haley Carls had a great year, and you've heard Strawsball's name and the Setters, Pawnee Centillas. I had someone stop me the other day and say, hey, I haven't heard as much about Delaney Spetnagel. Is she having a down year? And my response was, oh, absolutely not. I think Delaney Spetnagel represents everything that's right about this year's Zane Trace team. Her leadership, her unselfishness, her ability to maybe step away from as many kill attempts to make this team more balanced. She's a great server. She's a much improved passer. And I thought, when we talked chemistry and some different things, that was an interesting place to start with Lori Merriman. Again, I had a chance to talk to the Zane Trace head coach earlier this week. Let's take a listen.
Well, Coach, I know you well enough to know you probably will tell me to slow down a little bit. We're only five games into the year, but five games or not, when you think of your kids going on the road at Westfall, at Uniota, and now at Huntington, what have you learned about your team in the early going here?
Well, you know, the thing is, I heard you talking about chemistry on the podcast, and we talked a little bit about that, and you couldn't ask for a better group to be unselfish. Like, don't care stats, nothing. They pick each other up. They bond really well together. And that impresses me the most, because you've got a lot of different personalities, and especially we're kind of old in positions, but we're inexperienced. And I think Haley, as a leader, does a good job of bringing them in, but so does Delaney. So I'm real pleased with where we're at right now, but, you know, we got to continue just to play our game.
What's funny you went that route with that answer, because my second thing I wanted to talk to you about was chemistry. Mm-hmm. Is that something that was there last year, or has it been developed more into the offseason into this year? What's the growth been like as this team's kind of grown a year older from, because it's basically the same group you've had last year to this year?
Yeah, I think last year it was so much of learning a new philosophy and, you know, just so overwhelming for the players. They took everything in they could possibly take in. I think this year we can relax a little bit about knowing some fundamentals and kind of putting a little bit higher on our game, which I think's brought them in a little bit closer, because they want to go, they want to set higher goals, and they're not just comfortable with being the basics anymore. So I think that they help each other and they feed off each other because of that, like just the higher goal setting.
Last thing, as you move forward, obviously we do have a long way to go. I know when talking to you early in the year, you mentioned server, receive, a couple things like that. I saw that a little bit hurt you at Uniota. I didn't think it hurt you as much tonight. As you move forward, is that still a concern, or is there something else that jumps out at you? What does Zane Trace need to do well to stay in this title chase all the way to the end?
I think our server, receive, and we've been working really hard on it, has really improved a lot. And our setters are getting better day in and day out. I think right now we just need to a faster offense, and that's what we're looking for. And I think if we can keep doing what we're doing well and then pick up our faster offense, I think that'll help us maintain and do better.
Congratulations on a big win.
Thank you.
Again, that's Zane Trace head coach Lori Merriman. Congratulations to her on that 300th career win, which actually came a few days later on Saturday, and wins against Circleville and Leesburg. But when you heard me in the interview talking about tonight, that was following their big Huntington win earlier in the week on the road. And Matt, I guess the first thing I want to ask you, just as a coach, when you hear 300 wins and such an incredible accomplishment, what's your response to that part of this particular topic?
Well, obviously, it's impressive. You know, that's a milestone for anybody to reach, and reached it, you know, relatively early, I think, in her career, because I think she's going to coach for a long time. And like you said, reached it before she even reached 100 losses. And I think it's impressive the fact that she's done it at a couple different places. She's had good programs, you know, wherever she's been. And I think the reason that's true is partly you heard it in that interview right there. The first thing she mentioned didn't have a lot to do with X's and O's. It had to do with chemistry, you know. And I think the good coaches, the great coaches, really understand that you can't put the cart before the horse. You can have all the best plan in the world, but if you don't have if you don't have your locker room under control, if you don't have the chemistry, if you don't have the basis for your program laid out in terms of your expectations and et cetera, all that other stuff doesn't really matter. I think the coaches that get it understand that there's more that goes into this than just X's and O's on paper or whatever. So definitely a great accomplishment to her. I mean, she's had tournament success. She's had league success. She's done a lot of great things throughout her career. And like I said, it's to me, I don't know whether she'd agree or not, but it seems like it's pretty early on. You know, I think she's probably got a long way to go.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way, because as I look at the standings, yes, Zane Trace is 6-0. We have the big Zane Trace Adina match coming up, as well as Huntington Westfall. And then as we start over, Adina plays Westfall. So we're going to know a lot by the end of the week. But Zane Trace 6-0, Westfall 5-1. Huntington and Adina still very much in the title hunt at 4-2. And, you know, Uniota at 3-3. I don't know, at three losses, if they run the table, maybe they could sneak in there and tie. But as you heard me talk about them being your favorite roller coaster type of thing with Uniota, I still think they're capable of knocking someone off and taking their title hopes away from them, as you're seeing with Adina the other night. So, well, Matt, let me ask you this. As I take a look at these standings, as I've described, and you look at how tight they are with Zane Trace 6-0 and Westfall 5-1, Huntington, Adina 4-2, even Uniota 3-3 is maybe in that spoiler role. What's your take on the volleyball league as we hit the halfway point here?
Well, I mean, you have to be impressed by the consistency so far of Zane Trace. And like you mentioned in that interview with Coach Merriman, I mean, they have won three pretty tough games, I think, all on the road. So you definitely have to consider them in the driver's seat, obviously. But there's some teams close enough to them there where this league's still plenty in question. We talked about it before the season, you know, how many losses would win the league and whatever. And it just seems like Zane Trace is really doing a good job of kind of controlling things right now. And now, can we assume they're going to get through this thing unbeaten? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be awful difficult, because there's still a lot of parity in the league. So, and if they do, in fact, lose a match, how will they react to that? They haven't had to face that yet. So there's a lot to think about. But, I mean, obviously right now you have to be impressed with Zane Trace's consistency to this point.
Matt, I agree, and it should be a fun finish in this year's volleyball league, and I look forward to watching it. Fans, I encourage you to stay with us. On the other side of the break, we look at a variety of fall sports, including an SVC showdown in soccer, some cross country at Southeastern, and we answer an interesting question on golf from the inbox this week. Fans, as we talk a little soccer, cross country, and golf, we encourage you to click on those icons on the left side of the homepage at svcsportszone.com and check out all there is going on in those particular sports throughout the week. I know in soccer, the Uniota boys team off to an 8-0 start. They've outscored their opponent 38-6 on the year. I was surprised not to see them mentioned in the state, but as I talked a little bit of soccer, I was actually talking to John Bruce earlier this evening, and he was telling me that perhaps across the state, maybe not playing quite the schedule that some of those teams in the Columbus area, but nonetheless, 38-6, the overall score this year, and at 8-0, if they continue to play at that level, I think that'll change. On the girls' side, Zane Trace wins a big showdown with Uniota earlier this week. Zane Trace did crack the top 10, I understand. Just got that word late today. They were in the 10th spot. And then obviously Uniota girls, even with that loss, still having a very, very good year. And on the cross-country side of things, I know out at Southeastern, a lot of SVC runners in action at the Aaron Reed Memorial, a real nice event they do out there. Make sure you check out the cross-country page there. I have a link that you can get the middle school boys and girls as well as high school boys and girls and see all the finishers there. I know Uniota boys, led by Ethan Richter, had a nice day. The Zane Trace girls with Pro and Company. And it was interesting to see the gap with Uniota. I know talking soccer and Uniota, it was interesting to see – Rutherford from Uniota doing both. Good to see her healthy. I know last year she was coming back from a knee injury, so a lot of times running cross country in the morning, playing soccer in the evening there. So glad to see her back at full strength doing that. And then on the golf course, obviously Uniota well on their way to gold. They play JC's, I believe it's Tuesday, with the 18-hole finale at Pickaway on Friday. So Uniota not done yet. They're going to have to play well on three rounds there, but well on their way to gold. And the second place finish that we've been talking so much about this year, Westfall at 30 points, with Zane Trace at 28, Nadine at 26, all still a chance for second. And don't count out Southeastern, not necessarily to finish second, but as well as Eli McKee is starting to play, I think they could throw a little wrinkle in just who does finish second. And Matt, I thought in the inbox we had something really interesting this week. As much as you and I enjoy golf and enjoy covering SVC golf, it was kind of a long email, so I just will kind of sum it up here a little bit. It was basically asking us how we would rank the courses that the SVC plays, okay? I'll name these courses here. They go Dogwood, Valley Vista. They play Big Beaver. They play River's Edge, which a lot of our fans know as Running Fox from the past, Crown Hill, JC's, and then where in the past they had played Foxfire, they play the Pickaway Country Club. They've even used the VA some years, and that was the preview course this year. Matt, I guess I'll throw it out at you, just however you want to go about it. Maybe talk a little bit about how you'd rank them, but maybe be more specific toward the top on why whatever course is your favorite is that.
Well, you know, I'm a little biased, probably having grown up playing on JC's, being right here in the area we live in. I think it would definitely be between JC's and Crown Hill as the nicest course. Crown Hill's done a great job out there with their course. Had the opportunity to play it a couple times this year. You know, it's still a relatively young course. It hasn't been around all that long. But it's starting to come into its own now, and it's really nice layout. They have a lot of land out there, so there's a lot of space between holes, and there's some creative holes. So I would say one of those two courses, if I had to give the nod, I might still lean toward JC's, but it would be awfully close, with Crown Hill. And then I think after that, you know, there's a little bit of a log jam in the middle there. Big Beaver obviously has the potential to be a really nice course. At times it is. I'm trying to think of all the ones you named, Shane, but I know River's Edge, for instance.
Pickaway Country Club.
Oh, well, Pickaway Country Club. I really enjoy playing that course too. I think they've done a nice job out there. I still don't know top to bottom if it's as nice as JC's or Crown Hill, but it would be right in there in the probably third or fourth. Probably third on my list. And then down toward, you know, then you've got some courses like River's Edge that probably, quite honestly, would be down toward the bottom, but really it has a creative layout. It has the potential to be a great course if it ever gets to the point where they get over the top and or over the hump, so to speak, and upkeep and things like that, which has taken a hit in years past. But I always enjoyed Valley Vista. I'll be honest with you. I really enjoyed it when it was a 9-hole course, probably a little bit more, but it always had great greens and some. It was a fun course to play, a little scramble on or something like that, you know, with some of the holes that it had. So it's nice to have, because it used to be, you know, back when I was in high school especially, you didn't quite have the number of courses. It seems like now, you know, almost every team has their own course, with the exception of maybe one or two. Right. So that gives the kids a little variety too when they go play week to week.
I would say our list is pretty similar. I know I had a lot of what you're talking about at the bottom. I know the Dogwood and the River's Edge layout has a lot of potential. I don't know in terms of the shape that it's in that I would quite rank those ahead of a Big Beaver, Valley Vista, for a lot of the same reasons you said. I would say our list at the top probably comes down to more of our style of golf. Spoken like the true long hitter off the tee with your Crown Hill and JC's, I would probably have a tendency to lean a little bit more toward Pickaway. I think it's a neat course that brings a lot of different shots in. Greens are in outstanding shape. You'll go through a round and hit a lot of different types of shots. I think it's a great finishing stretch here for the high school kids. Obviously, Foxfire is a beautiful place, but with the change they've made over to Pickaway, I know several of the SVC players play that at the district level, which makes a nice advantage for our league. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting email. I think you and I are pretty close, maybe just a little bit different at the top there based on probably, again, the style of our games. Fans, please check the website for all the recaps of soccer, golf, and cross country by clicking the icon on the left side of our homepage, as I mentioned a second ago, svcsportzone.com. Coming up on the other side of the break, we turn our attention to football. We look back to week four and ahead to week five. Fans, in the week four recap, again, check out the Chris Good sponsored scoreboard there, the Good Health Chiropractic. That's the SVC football scoreboard. You'll see some picture links, you'll see some stats, and we had huge nights from Williamson and Vickers and Vanderpool and the Zane Trace defense coming up big. And I guess you look back at the week four recap, that it was kind of a tough week to predict. I know, Matt, you and I both had some right, some wrong, and we disagreed on some, and we kind of split back and forth. And I guess the one thing I wanted to throw at you, Matt, from a coach's standpoint, I really think this is intriguing. I heard him talk a little bit after the NFL start, and I wanted to get your take. As a high school coach, after one game, and I know this is really week four, but again, the league, one game, the high of being 1-0 and the low of being 0-1, how do you approach this with your team, and how significant is this next 5 to 6 days for high school kids?
Well, you can't get too high or too low. I mean, I think that's the key. If we tell our guys, when you win, you're usually not as good as you think you are. And when you lose, you're usually not as bad as you think you are. You know, you have to stay even keel. I think coaches that are 1-0 are probably telling their guys, hey, we got a long season ahead. We haven't accomplished anything yet. And I'd say coaches that are 0-1 are probably telling their guys, hey, we have a long season ahead. There's still a lot of football to be played. This thing isn't over yet. We control our own destiny and all those things. So, it's so early. You just can't get too wrapped up either way. I think, I heard Coach Holland talking the other night on the radio, and I thought he said it well when they had made the comment about, talking about the Cedarville game that got canceled, how might it affect your playoff thing? And without going into the Jim Mora playoffs, he pretty much said, we're not thinking about playoffs right now. We're early in the season. We're just trying to get better every week. And I think that's how most coaches are probably handling it right now.
Matt, fans that are familiar with the show, they know our CNK athletic equipment 2-minute drill takes on some different things throughout really the whole year. We do some fast break in basketball, extra innings in baseball, softball, photo finish in track, and our 2-minute drill in football. Last week was a wide open, tough week to pick, and we disagreed two or three times with both of us being right and wrong. This week appears to be somewhat more lopsided on paper, so let's take a look at some detailed questions from around the SVC Football League.
What was the biggest question you had entering week four, and how was it answered this past Friday night?
Well, to be honest, Shane, one question that popped to mind for me was, how for real is Huntington? They've been down for a long time. They come through the non-league at 2-1. They're coming in the league play. Did they beat a couple weaker teams in the non-league, or are they really improving? And then they go and they knock off the defending champion in week one. So for me, that answered a question in terms of Huntington. I think Huntington is for real, and they're going to be a factor in this league this year.
Matt, for me, it was Westfall defense. I think what happens a lot of times, we come out of the non-league and they play the Pickaway County Tour there with Taze Valley, Logan Elm, Circleville. They give up nearly 40 points a game. I think 49 spot 1 week. They even give up 41 1 week and still win. And I think what happens a lot of times is maybe we unfairly look at some stats, and as they come out of that tough 3-week stretch, stretch, maybe we start to panic in terms of the quality of their defense. So I was anxious to see against a really good SVC opponent. And for the most part, yes, I understand Piketon put the ball on the ground a little bit, made some mistakes in the red zone. But the end result, if that defense holds people to 14 points, they're going to win just about every game they play. So I would say I had a question about Westfall defense, and I'd say they answered it in a positive manner.
In continuing the kicking game discussion, what game was influenced by special teams the most this past week?
Well, this one was a tough one for me, Shane. I don't know. I'm not sure that any of the games were totally decided by the kicking game. I noticed that, you know, in the Zane Trace game, a game that was close right down to the end with Payne Valley, I noticed Zane Trace missed a couple of field goal attempts, I believe, of 30-plus yards. Which I think says a lot about their kicking game, that they have the confidence to go out there and attempt those. And a lot of schools wouldn't from that distance. I know, their kicker made a couple the week before, and we talked about how big it was. That could have played a role in that game. Fortunately for Zane Trace, they were able to hold off Payne Valley. But that's one of those where the score may not have been as close had they been able to convert.
Matt, I'll go to the Huntington-Edina game. It was obviously a shootout, but don't let the final score being two possessions fool you. That basically ended up late third quarter, early fourth quarter being back and forth, even had a lead change. Obviously, you had some extra points, misses, and makes, but I'll kind of go back to a point you made here, Matt. I thought a huge part in this ended up just being the punting and the kickoff in terms of field position. Even had a kickoff return from Huntington for a touchdown. Had an Edina punt, a miscue in the kicking game there led to a safety. So I thought, obviously, Huntington's offense is pretty explosive. The last thing you need to let them do is have the special teams impact the game, and I thought that happened there a little bit.
Looking at the Embroidery Me schedule, what Week 5 matchup are you most looking forward to watching?
Well, I like the offense, so I'm going to go Piketon-Huntington. I think that that could be really fun in terms of two offensive teams that really get up and down the field and put a lot of points on the board.
I'm going to go the Uniota defense versus the Westfall offense. When I look at Uniota defense, I've seen Vanderpool and Taburn, and I want to say Uniota's turned their opponent over about 10, 11 times already. I think they have 5 or 6 defensive touchdowns, maybe even a special teams touchdown. So for you fantasy football people, they'd be a good one to play. Obviously, on the offensive side for Westfall, Williamson with Klein and Staten and Thomas, I just don't think you're going to shut down that offense for 4 quarters. So at some point, if you are going to knock them off, I think you have to have your defense and special teams score some points, and obviously Uniota's defense through the first 4 weeks has proven capable of doing that.
As we complete the first half of 2012 this week, how many SVC teams do you predict will make the postseason?
Well, it's so early when you start looking at these computer points, and it's difficult to know what will happen, obviously, or how things will shake out in other areas, but you know, I'm going to say, and maybe this is low end, but I'm going to say one. I think Westfall has the best chance of making it. I know right now Uniota would currently be in the top 8. One thing to think about, and you have schools like Payne Valley and Huntington that are right there on the verge, and they're smaller in terms of division. So if they would beat a Uniota or Zane Trace or Piketon or somebody like that, they're getting a few extra points because they're beating a higher division. So you always have that little wrinkle in there too. But I think one thing that hurts the playoff a little bit when you have a bigger league where you play 7 of your 10 games as league play is everybody's beating each other. So you're not necessarily getting those second level points where some schools only have 5 league games. So you're playing 5 non-league and you have an opportunity every week to get more second level points. So I'm just going to go with one. I think Westfall makes it.
Matt, I can't disagree with you. I think all you can do going into Week 5 is play the percentages. I think Westfall, on paper, is probably a favorite to go 9-1. I think there's still a lot of SVC fans out there that feels that Piketon can go 8-2. I think at 8-2, looking at some of the different matchups and teams ahead of them, I think 8-2 would get them in. But again, obviously in a league like this, that's going to be a very difficult thing to do. So I think the safe bet's one. I wouldn't rule out a second. Fans, Matt and I always enjoy hearing from all of you, and we truly mean it when we say we're sorry. Again, I mentioned earlier in the show here that we had some incredible emails coming in today, and I have those those marked and some interesting topics that we're definitely going to take a look at on future shows. We also like to stir up some conversation with SEO Preps, SEO NEK Preps, and of course JJ Huddle, who's been a nice supporter of our podcast show. As I mentioned earlier, get involved with our SVC rivalries. Also let us know some of the overlooked fundamentals or positions in particular sports. You heard some of our track people and baseball people earlier. Like to get a lot of different things from a lot of different sports. And as we always do toward the end of the show, we like to look in our inbox. And speaking of future shows, I know that there was one, Matt, I wanted to go ahead and pull this one if that's okay, and I wanted to get your feedback. Yeah. Because we talked future shows about transferring, and I thought this was an interesting email that had come in after last week's show. The emailer says, I heard on last week's show you guys were collecting ideas for a show on transferring. I think the OHSAA and local schools have to get on the same page to stop this. I have always wanted to blame the OHSAA, but now I feel like they have tried and the schools have dropped the ball by not voting. And before I get your take here, Matt, I guess I have to say a little bit that I agree with this. I've always said that I think the OHSAA is taken a long time to get in the fight, but now that they are in the fight, I think they are trying to do some different things. What's your take on this whole policy in terms of the tradition factor and all these other things, and where we stand on this right now?
Well, in terms of the transferring, I think that the OHSAA, it's one of those things. They make rules. They've made some rules. All right, but it's one thing to make rules, and it's another thing to enforce it. I think it's kind of like the gorilla in the middle of the room. You know, nobody wants it there, but nobody's racing over to hold its hand on the way out the door either. But they make the rules. They don't want it necessarily to be a problem, but when you start talking about enforcing it, it becomes very difficult. Obviously, they probably don't have the resources to go around and investigate every little accusation made by every person in the state. But they basically leave it up to the schools to police themselves. Well, that gets a little bit, you know, hairy at times too, because schools basically are expected to self-report. Schools are basically expected to investigate these kind of things on their own a little bit before they report them. And, you know, is that getting done? I don't know. So the transferring thing is something that I don't think is necessarily close to being solved. There are legitimate reasons at times where kids transfer, and then there's some that's not. So maybe they're headed in the right direction. Time will tell. We certainly have a long way to go.
But I guess, Matt, when I'm looking at here's what I'm saying, though, is, and I'm not a parent, okay? So parents, feel free to email the website and tell me I'm wrong. But the OHSAA can only do so much in certain situations. If a parent is willing to give up the right to be a parent, and they're willing to say that this friend or this relative over in this school district, I'm going to give up the right to parent my 14, 15-year-old and give them guardianship, those are some things that are hard for the state to step in and police, is it not?
Well, no, I don't think there's any question. I think the things, what I see more of being a common trend is where the change of residency isn't legitimate. You know, well, we're going to move to such and such school district, and then you end up going and renting an apartment or a trailer, and you really never live there ever. You live where you've always lived, and you drive your kid or he or she drives to this neighboring school district. And that's where it gets a little bit. I think those things need to be investigated a little bit. It's funny. I'm not obviously not going to name the school where the people were involved or anything like that. But I know somebody that said, well, it's funny. I saw so-and-so who goes to this school district over here. I saw his dad voting today at the same place he's always voted. He's still registered to vote, you know, and it's like, you know, so is it legitimate, you know? And I think that's where those things need to probably be investigated a little bit more and looked into a little bit more to make sure if these parents are going to change districts, they have what the state likes to refer to as a bona fide residence change. And I think they are starting to do more on that. But again, it's like anything else. When you start something, it takes a while to probably where it gets foolproof.
Well, one thing's for certain, it's going to be a fun discussion. This is going to be something that not just in our SVC family, but people in the surrounding area that follow our show, it's going to have an opinion on. So please fill up the inbox, admin1@svcsportzone.com, Twitter, SVC Sports Zone. As I said earlier, svcsportzone.com is on Facebook. Just like us right off of our website. You can also be my friend, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone. And then, of course, the DBK Media Service website. They offer a phone number, 569-3254. That's a 740 number. Call in there, listen for the beep, and go ahead and have your voice heard on the show. But obviously, all of these different topics we have stirred up is going to make for some great future shows here in the fall. So, well, fans, on that note, until next time, for the great people at Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for DBK Media Services, and for my co-host, Mac Holmes, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportzone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.